Our statement for 2022 is just strengthen. That's it. And our key verse, of course, from Revelation 3:2, strengthen the things that remain. Now, we have produced these really funky little bookmarks with Strengthen 2022 on them with our key verse and also our initiatives. And if you're part of our online community, we're planning to post one of those to you. But just to make sure that you're included, if you would like one of those bookmarks, if you would just email us, connect@baysidechurch.com.au, and give us your mailing address and we'll put one of those in the post to you. Now, there are two initiatives that we're going to be focusing on in the new year. We decided as a pastoral team that we were going to keep things very light and very simple. As we're chatting with people around our church community, we're hearing from people saying one of the things that they have learned from and appreciated out of the global pandemic has been the fact that life has gone from stressful, chaotic, crazy, busy to much more simple. And there are many of us who want to try and embrace that simplicity as we move forward. And so as a church, we're going to keep it light. We're going to keep it simple. And just a couple of key initiatives for the new year. Number one is that everything is birthed in prayer. We will focus on strengthening prayer privately and corporately. We encourage everyone to connect with the variety of ways prayer is available in the life of the church. And then secondly, our spiritual habits help to transform us into Christ-likeness. We will start 2022 encouraging everyone to participate in a New Year Restart program. The 8-week program will focus on strengthening or starting one or two spiritual habits. And so that's what we want to look at, as well as all of the other things that we do, Bayside Church Online, Tuesday Night Live, our in-person gathering on a Sunday morning, Connect Groups, our Pathways of Discipleship, Matt's Place, Community Care, all of those things will continue. And we just didn't want to add a whole lot to that. We're going to keep it simple. And one of the things that people have really missed is that connection point with each other. And so we want to look for as many creative ways as we can to make sure that we connect with each other and that we enjoy God's presence together, which of course includes continuing Bayside Church Online. We're going to keep that going in this format and stream it live Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 10, and of course always available on demand as well. The text is taken from Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to read with you verses 1 to 6, which is the letter written to the church of Sardis. And in reading this, I'm not suggesting that the entire passage and everything that Jesus is saying to this church is applicable to Bayside Church right now. But I think it's good to get the context of our vision scripture for the new year. And so to the angel or the messenger of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's one line, of course, in that, which is our vision scripture for the new year. And that's been literally ricocheting around my spirit for several months as I've been praying into 2022. More on that later. But first, I thought it'd be really, really helpful, seeing as we're reading from the book of Revelation, that I'll just spend a little bit of time with you, helping you understand this book. What I've noticed last year and this year through the global pandemic is what happens whenever there is a crisis, a global crisis, and that is people go back to the Bible, and particularly to Bible prophecy. And secondly, people start praying. Two of those, both of those things I think are absolutely wonderful. I think it's great that people start to pray and acknowledge the spiritual part of their being, and also that they go back to the Bible. The sad thing is that they often don't know how to understand the book of Revelation, and so as a result come up with all sorts of weird and wacky ways of interpreting this very special and incredible book. In my early Christian years, I was really introduced to Christianity through Bible prophecy, and particularly the book of Revelation, and I was fascinated with it. I felt like, you know, all of human history had been waiting for Rob Buckingham to finally get it so that the end could come. And so not only was I devouring books like Daniel and Revelation in the Bible, but also Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth and Satan's Alive and Well on Planet Earth. And I was absolutely fascinated by these books. He talked about how that the planets were going to align in 1982 and it was going to cause global cataclysmic events to take place. The Great Tribulation was going to happen. The Antichrist was going to be revealed, which a lot of people back in those days thought the Pope was going to be the Antichrist. I remember someone telling me one day in all seriousness that the Pope had 666 written under his cap, or his zucchetto as the proper name is. And they told me in all seriousness, and I'm like, really, seriously? The Pope has 666 under his hat? Yeah, he does. Like people have been going and lifting it up and going, yeah, see, it's got 666 under it. I believed that stuff. I look back at it now and I think how gullible I was. Israel had become a nation in 1948, and a generation from there, according to one misinterpretation of a prophecy from Matthew 24, Jesus was going to come back within a generation, which is 40 years. So Jesus was going to return in 1988. And so all of this stuff was being talked about, and I believed it hook, line, and sinker. What happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. None of that was true. Just like all of the other predictions about these things that have happened over the centuries, and even stuff that's been prophesied over the last couple of years, which has already turned out to be dead flat wrong. I now know better. I've gone through now 40 plus years of reading, studying the Bible, investigating it, studying it deeply, reading books about the Bible and how it was compiled, and I now know better. So what I want to share with you is a little bit of history that will help inform us on how we should treat and understand the book of Revelation. Revelation was reluctantly admitted into the canon. That word canon, the canon of Scripture, it means the catalogue or the list of Scripture. And Revelation was reluctantly finally added as the last book added to the Bible in 395 AD. It was the last book added to the New Testament. The Western part of the church wanted Revelation included, but the Western Christian leaders didn't want the book of Hebrews. They didn't like the book of Hebrews. On the other hand, the Eastern part of the church didn't appreciate Revelation, and incidentally, the Eastern Orthodox Church, even to this day, will not use the book of Revelation in their services. But they wanted Hebrews included in the canon of Scripture. And so there was a compromise between the Western and Eastern church leaders. And it was almost like, well, we'll give you Hebrews if you give us Revelation. Deal was done, and both of the books ended up in the New Testament. By 395, when the New Testament was completed, and by the way, the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Tanakh, was completed in 135 AD. And so by this time, 395, the church's doctrine had been fully developed and stated at the Council of Nicaea in the Nicene Creed, and that was 325. So I want you to understand there, the church doctrine was completed In 325, the book of Revelation was added to the Bible in 395. That's 70 years later. And that's a really important thing, and I'll touch on that a bit more in a moment. But I thought it would be good for us to investigate this amazing creed. And I want to teach a series on the Nicene Creed in the new year. The Nicene Creed, incidentally, was used around or is used around Lent and Easter, whereas the Apostles' Creed has to do with baptism. So let's look at the church's orthodox doctrine that Bayside Church 100% ascribes to, that's articulated for us in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful statement of faith? And we're going to repeat that together at the end of this message. We affirm the Nicene Creed 100% as a church, Bayside Church. The Nicene Creed contains everything the early church believed about Christian doctrine, and it included everything the first century's church believed about the end times. Although I should say here that the Bible actually doesn't mention the end times ever. It mentions the last days, and the last days began with Jesus and with the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. One day, this age that we are living in is going to come to an end, and everything that the early church believed about the end of this age is articulated for us in the Nicene Creed. Let's read those sections again. Jesus will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. And so these statements are a summary of eschatology, that is the study of last things or the last days. And they comprise everything Christians have ever believed about the end of this age, that Jesus will come again, Jesus' second coming, the resurrection of the dead, the judgment of all people, and fourthly, eternal life in an everlasting kingdom. And I want you to notice that the Nicene Creed says that we look forward to the resurrection of the dead. In other words, the future is not something for us to fear. And this is really important. If you look with me at 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, John writes, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And so if we're fearing the future, if we are fearing the return of Jesus and the rapture and the judgment and all of those things, John is saying that love has not been perfected in us. We don't have a perfect understanding of the amazing love and mercy and grace of God if we think of the future with fear. He says perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not looking forward to punishment. We're looking forward to life everlasting. And so according to the church's greatest creed, the future is not something to fear. It's something to look forward to. Contrast that with an interpretation of Revelation that does nothing but instill fear in people. Fear of Antichrist and one world government. Fear of the mark of the beast. Fear of the great tribulation. Fear of the most dreadful afflictions being rained down upon the earth. Fear of beasts and dragons and harlots and birds feasting on human flesh. Fear of the battle of Armageddon. Fear of a lake of burning sulfur. And fear of a rapture where you could be left behind. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. If you've been around for a while, you'll remember that song. It was made popular by Larry Norman in the 70s, great Christian rock singer of the day. Great song, awful theology, really, really bad. Back in the 70s, when I came to Jesus in the early 80s as well, there was radical Christian groups going around asking other Christians, are you rapture saved? And by then, you might never have heard that terminology. And if you haven't, well, praise the Lord. But are you rapture saved? In other words, are you saved enough to go up in the rapture, or are you going to be left behind? What a horrible view of the Christian message and the good news about Jesus Christ, as if it had anything to do with us. That salvation is 100% of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. As a young Christian, I was fearful about these things. Like any young man, I had stuff going on in my life that was great, and also stuff that was going on that wasn't so great. And I was going through a bit of a low patch at this time. I was living in a farmhouse with a mate of mine who'd also become a Christian. We were part of the same church. And I'd finished working on the radio on this particular Saturday, and I'd driven back to the farmhouse. And as I walked into the farmhouse, into the kitchen, there was a pot of food bubbling away on the stove, and there were two chairs that were just pulled out from the table, kind of facing each other, as if two people had been sitting there talking, but then it looked like everyone had just disappeared. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not saved enough to go in the rapture. The rapture's happened and I've been left behind. I wish I'd all been ready, but I wasn't. And I was petrified. You know, I must have been maybe 21, 22. And I remember walking around the farm and I finally found my mate and another friend of ours. And of course, they'd just been going for a walk and I was totally freaked out. This same false doctrine has been dramatized for us in books and movies. So the Left Behind books of the 90s and the Left Behind movies that started to come out around the year 2000. You know, they're a ripper read, but they're novels. They're not good theology. And what really concerns me is that so many of Jesus' followers get their understanding of the book of Revelation from novels like Left Behind and the movies. By the way, the movies have the great record of being the lowest scoring film on Rotten Tomatoes for all time. They have a popularity rating of about 3% from memory. So all of this fear-mongering might be a good money spinner, as it certainly was with those books and films, but we must not base our belief on these fads, and fads they are. Understanding that this view of the book of Revelation is very new. It actually was invented and came to popularity back in the 1800s. A guy by the name of John Nelson Darby was a Christian preacher at the time. He was part of the Plymouth Brethren, but because of his heresy in this area and in other areas of Christian doctrine, the Plymouth Brethren excommunicated him. And John Nelson Darby does what any heretic does when they're excommunicated. He started his own church, and it's still with us to this day, and it's known as the Exclusive Brethren, which is a sect, a cult. And so it concerns me that so many followers of Jesus to this day have this understanding of the book of Revelation like it is gospel truth. Our faith must rest solid and secure on the truth as it is stated by the great creeds of the church. Jesus will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. And so, when the book of Revelation was finally included in the Bible, it could not add anything as stated in the Nicene Creed. As I said before, Nicene Creed, Christian doctrine, was formulated by 325. Revelation was added to the scriptures in 395, 70 years later. Church doctrine was fully formulated well before the book of Revelation was admitted to the New Testament. Revelation's two main uses were, number one, as a call to worship. And it's a stunning book for that. There are passages all the way through that talk about the Lamb on the throne and the multitude from all nations gathered around the throne to worship the Lord. And secondly, it was a call to faithfulness. That is, in the face of persecution and hardship, we are called to be rock solid, steadfast in following Jesus Christ. Revelation was not to be used to add anything to so-called end time teaching. This was already settled by the Nicene Creed. In fact, it was expressly stated by the early Christians that Revelation was not to be used to foretell the future. How ironic that is. Shane Willard and I have done a couple of podcasts recently. And if you go on to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on, if you type in Digging Deeper with Rob Buckingham, a couple of the last podcasts uploaded are Understanding Revelation, Part 1 and Part 2. And I really encourage you to go and have a listen to those discussions between myself and Shane. It will be eye-opening for you. The book of Revelation is jam-packed full of amazing truth that is so applicable to today. When we remove our fixation with the so-called end times and cease to use Revelation to predict the future or read interpretations into it from our daily newspaper, we free Revelation up to be the encouragement to us that it was designed to be right from the start. Revelation was originally written to seven churches, real churches in the first century. But as part of inspired scripture, this book is written to every church and every disciple of Jesus. And so with that background in mind, I want to get back to one line within that our text that has been literally ricocheting around my spirit every time I've been praying into 2022 for the last few months. And I was sharing this with our board recently, and one of our board members said, "Oh, I just love the picture of that truth that's ricocheting around." Now, I'm not talking about the Irish guy, by the way, Rick O'Shea. I'm talking about something bouncing around inside my spirit of a truth of scripture that has gripped my heart for our church for the new year. And so this one line's been coming to me over and over again from Revelation 3:2, and that is, "Strengthen the things which remain." Bayside Church, strengthen the things which remain. I love coming to the end of 2021. I think back to this time last year, the end of 2020, and I had so many people coming up to me and saying, "Really looking forward to the end of 2020. I can't wait to get into a new year and leave all this behind me." And I would just kind of look at them and go, nothing has changed. You know, a virus doesn't go, "Oh, look, It's nearly New Year's Eve. Let's leave, shall we? No, nothing had changed at the end of 2020, but praise God, something now has significantly shifted in Australia and in the world, and that is through the wonderful creativity that the Spirit of God has given to medical researchers and scientists. We have a number of brilliant vaccines now that can protect us and through us to protect the vulnerable in our community. And so I'm excited as we get into a new year, because it means that 2022 can be much more different than 2021 and 2020. We really can leave some of those things behind us now and embrace a new year together as a church. In the past 2 years, everything in society has been shaken to the core by this pandemic. Everything in the church has been shaken by this pandemic. We're seeing that in society, something happening at the moment called the Great Resignation, where people are just resigning from their jobs and looking for a better offer, a better deal, more flexible work. They want to work from home. They don't want to go back to driving in and out of the city every day. People are moving to regional areas because they can work remotely. All of these different things are taking place within our society. And the great shaking has taken place in the entire body of Christ as well. It's like if you go along and you shake a fruit tree. So, you know, you'd be like Sir Isaac Newton, for example. He shook an apple tree and one fell on his head and he was struck by the gravity of that situation. And it's like we've experienced that as a church and churches in general. This shaking has been going on. Certain things have dropped off. Our busyness has dropped off. Some people have dropped off. Finances have dropped off. I was chatting with a pastor the other day who travels around to lots of different churches, and his comment to me was that all churches have experienced a drop in their financial giving. The average is around 30%. Bayside Church, we're about 24% behind where we were this time last year, and we've cut our expenses as a result of that as well. But there's lots of great things that remain, and especially people. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, Bayside Church, strengthen the things which remain. It's a simple statement that I hope will resonate with you and ricochet around your spirit as well. As 2021 draws to a close, I encourage you to pray about one, maybe two things that you would like to strengthen in your life in the new year. And join in with one or both of our two initiatives. We'll have more to say about that at the start of 2022. I'd like us to close this message today by reciting the Nicene Creed together. There's great strength in doing this, that we reaffirm that these are the things, the non-negotiables that we hang on to. Let's pray this together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day, he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Great truth. And I encourage you to read that a few more times and really meditate on the truth that you find in the Nicene Creed. I've included it in your message notes. If you go onto the Bayside Church website or the Bayside Church Melbourne app under the media tab, you'll find the weekly message and the message notes. So you can download those. There's some discussion questions there that you can do with some friends or in your connect groups, or to help you dig a little bit deeper into the Word of God and really spend some great time allowing the truth of the Nicene Creed to grip your heart. They are the rock solid truths of the Christian faith that will never, ever change. It's wonderful. Well, I hope you've been inspired by that. And I hope Revelation, the amazing book, will come alive to you as you understand what its original intention was for the church. Read it afresh. Don't be scared by it. Don't be frightened by it, but be inspired and encouraged through that. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, can I encourage you, if you're just thinking about these things right now, to investigate further? If you would click on the link right now in the chat feed or in the body of the notes on YouTube, there's a link there that you can click on, and that will get you through to one of our leaders at Bayside, and we would love to post a Bible to you and some information that will help you become a follower of Jesus Christ.